In the 1980s, the American Lawyer magazine published an article called Scientology's War on the Judges. And that war sadly continues. And I'm not just talking about a lawyer leaving a bag of money on a judge's table and saying, I used to represent the mafia. Scientology actually investigates these judges and their law clerks. Scientology lawyers have been known to contact these law clerks and to threaten them. They have had improper ex parte meetings with judges before cases are filed. They have left on midnight visits to judges. Cases get reassigned to judges who are in Scientology's pocket, or who used to be an attorney for Scientology before they became a judge, or who are romantically involved with a Scientologist. Court clerks can be persuaded to receive court filings after hours. In one case, Scientology filed a motion to disqualify the entire Los Angeles bench of judges. In another case, they sued the judge for not allowing Scientology to use a Scientology court reporting service called Atkinson Baker. Using Atkinson Baker, Scientology attorneys have received copies of transcripts before other counsel. In another Scientology case, there was even a transcript change. In another case, Scientology attorney Moxon was alleged to have drowned the judge's dog. All this creates a climate of psychoterror among the judges, and that results in blatant miscarriages of justice. Even jury tampering is not out of bounds, as happened in another recent example involving the wife of an OSA staffer. Scientology policy documents hold that only Scientologists have civil rights, and they may non-Scientologists don't have civil rights, and they may be destroyed with impunity. And another Scientology document directs its staff and lawyers to overwhelm an opposing litigant or uncooperative judge into submission. With massive litigation budgets and sometimes hundreds of lawyers, Scientology files endless motions, takes endless depositions, pursues every avenue of appeal. The goal, to delay the resolution of the case as long as possible, to totally frustrate the judge, and to grind the opponent into submission financially, physically, and emotionally. Some litigants and their lawyers, as I said, have developed post-traumatic stress disorder. And when the case ends, the documents and the evidence often get sealed. Witnesses and litigants are forced into gag agreements where they are not allowed to talk of what they know again. Access to court files becomes blocked, and documents slowly disappear from those court files. As I have explained, in my opinion, the Scientology racketeering enterprise now does whatever it wants, almost, in the cities of Clearwater in Florida, and in Los Angeles, and Hemet in California. The last criminal organization to flourish under government and the courts was the Mafia, under J. Edgar Hoover's reign at the FBI. Now, the Scientology enterprise flourishes under the Clinton and Bush Justice Departments. And how does it do this? It does it through institutionalized and organized bribery, blackmail, perjury, lying, and fraud. It uses criminal infiltration, false claims of religiosity, fraudulent copyrights, false front organizations, intimidation, and terror. Terrorism can take many forms. It isn't always violent and spectacular. And in these matters, our government has failed us. In the case of Allard versus the Church of Scientology, the court accurately and courageously described some of the documents I have mentioned and the conduct of a group of Scientologists. The judge said, and I quote, "These documents establish beyond question that the defendants, their convicted co-defendants, They're unindicted co-conspirators, including current Scientology lead attorney Moxon, as well as their organization, consider themselves above the law. They believe they have carte blanche to violate the rights of others, frame critics in order to destroy them, burglarize private and public offices, and steal documents outlining the strategy of individuals and organizations that the church had sued. The defendants and their cohorts launched vicious smear campaigns, spreading falsehoods against those they perceived to be enemies of Scientology in order to discredit them, and in some instances, to cause them to lose their employment. To these defendants and associates, anyone who did not agree with them was considered to be an enemy against whom the so-called fair game doctrine could be invoked. In view of this, said the court, it defies the imagination that these Church of Scientology defendants have the unmitigated audacity to defend their actions in the name of religion. Thank you.